Well, good morning, Heights family. It is just unbelievable to me that this is our sixth Sunday of online only. We are sheltering in place and we are trusting Jesus. And I am so proud of you for joining us in this online service. We're still gathering together. We're just doing it while we're spread apart. But God bless you for being here. This morning, we're actually going to start a sermon series that's just focused on Jesus. I'm absolutely convinced that when life is upside down, when life just gets topsy-turvy, the very best thing that we can do, the best thing you can do, that I can do, is to just keep our eyes on Jesus. And so we're starting a series, and we're going to be talking a lot about Jesus because this is a different season, right? I mean, it's a season of sheltering in place, and we've passed a month now of sheltering in place. That is a different season for all of us. But think about it as well, how much of a different season this is for our medical professionals, doctors, nurses, medical technicians. I mean, their job has always been stressful, but now just to go into the office is to expose themselves to a pandemic. I hope that you're praying for our medical professionals because this is a different season for them. Think about our first responders, what a different season it is for them. I mean, they're used to dealing with criminals and car wrecks, and they're used to dealing with fires, but now they also have to face an unseen enemy. And I trust that you're praying for our first responders. And think about all the folks who are working at essential jobs. I mean, sheltering in place is challenging and nerve-wracking. And yet those that are in essential jobs, they're going out to work every day. And they're exposing themselves now to an unseen enemy, a pandemic, just to do their job. These really are different days. I keep hearing about so many, even among our church family, who have been laid off. Those are different days. So many of us are feeling financially insecure during these days. Those are different days. These are the kind of days that can easily leave us distracted, anxious, even fearful. But let me tell you what I believe, and I believe this with all of my heart. I believe that God can use this season, and that God can use you to have incredible impact in the midst of these days. Now, and those are not just words. I really believe that. I believe in days of uncertainty, we look around for that which is certain. In days when everything is shaken, we look for solid ground. I believe these are days of spiritual awareness. And I believe in these days that God can use you to have impact upon the people around you like never before in your life, and perhaps never again in your lifetime. But it requires a mind shift. It requires us to begin to think not just in terms of being rescued, but being rescuers. Not just in terms of someone taking care of us, but thinking in terms of who can we take care of. See, I believe that God has placed you right where you are, whether that is sheltered there in place or whether that's working in a medical office building, or whether that's working as a first responder or working in an essential job. I believe God has placed you exactly where you are for such a time as this. And I believe that you can be someone's first responders. I believe that you can be the one who provides someone critical care in the midst of these days. It may not be medical care, but it can be soul care, care for someone's soul. So I believe it with all of my heart, that these could be days in which God uses you to impact the people around you like never before. But that will only happen if you and I keep our eyes on Jesus. You see, for us to have impact, we have to keep our eyes on the Lord. We learn that from a unique place. We learned that truth from an Old Testament prophet. Let me encourage you to go ahead and open up your Bible, get your phone out, look at the Bible app, open your Bible to the book of Micah. And we're really just going to zero in on one verse, chapter 1, verse 1. But we're going to look at a lot of Micah's background this morning. Micah is a prophet who lived about 700 years before Jesus was born. And Micah is a person who, against all odds, had huge impact. He had an incredible impact upon his generation, and he's even having an impact upon our generation. We're talking about Micah this morning, after all. And I believe that just like Micah, God can use you to have an impact in your neighborhood, in your home, in your office, and with your friends. But to do that, you and I are going to have to do something that Micah did, and that is to keep our eyes on Jesus. These could be some of the most impactful days of your life. Now, as we think about Micah, let me invite you to read along with me, follow along as I read in Micah chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Micah. And I think it'd be so good right now if in your mind you would just even insert your name in there. Imagine the word of the Lord coming to you this morning. Imagine God speaking profoundly into your life this very morning. The word of the Lord came to Micah and to you and to me. Of Moresheth in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. God can use you to have incredible impact during these days if first, number one, you keep your eyes on Jesus. The name Micah is a unique name. It actually means literally, who is like the Lord? Imagine that. Micah knew his purpose from the very first time that he heard his name, from the first time that he began to understand the meaning of his name, who is like the Lord. Micah knew his purpose. Micah knew that his purpose in life was to point to the uniqueness of the Messiah, the Lord. He knew it was to point to the grace of the Messiah, the salvation that the Messiah would bring. Micah knew his purpose. And get this, Micah was reminded of his purpose every time he heard his name spoken. Can you imagine Micah out in the backyard playing with some of his buddies, and it's supper time, and his mom opens the door and shouts out, "Hey, who is like the Lord? It's time to eat. Come in and wash up. Invite your friends if you want to." Every time he heard his name, what he heard was, "Who is like the Lord?" And he was reminded of his purpose and the impact that God intended to have through his life. Now, your name may not be Micah. My guess is it's not. But the fact is, even though your name is not who is like the Lord, you know that you are in Christ. You know that your identity is in Christ. And as one who's in Christ, you know that you are beloved and you are chosen. You know you are blessed. You know you are a child of God. And so you know your purpose. And your purpose is the same purpose that Micah had. And that is to point out to others the uniqueness of the Lord, the grace of the Lord, the salvation that is to be found in the Lord only. My encouragement to you, first thing this morning, is to claim your name. Yes, the name that your parents gave you when you were born, but also the name that Jesus has given you, child of God. And this morning, my encouragement to you is to claim your identity. You are one who is chosen to point out the uniqueness of the Messiah to the people around you. So let me ask you again, do you want impact? Do you want this, even while you're sheltering in place, even in the midst of these unique days, do you want your life to have incredible impact? Do you want God through you to encourage your spouse? Do you want God through you to speak words of hope and encouragement into your children or maybe into your roommate?
Do you want God to use you to point your neighbors to the uniqueness of Jesus and the salvation of Jesus and the grace of Jesus? Do you want God to use you to encourage your coworkers during these days? If so, number one, you've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. And number two, not on your circumstances. See, that's key. Keep your eyes on Jesus, not on your circumstances. Micah did not, and he had every opportunity to, he did not keep his eyes on his circumstances. And I'm telling you, he shared some of the same circumstances that we have going on today. First of all, Micah came from an incredibly humble background. Here's the reality. Micah was not that well known, especially as it relates to some of his contemporaries. Micah came from kind of a no-name town that was hard to find and was a good ways out of Jerusalem. I mean, he didn't have this great resume. I mean, think about some of the people that he ministered alongside, some of his contemporaries, the other prophets in his day. One of them was Amos. And in case you don't remember, Amos is the one who wrote these incredible words, "Let justice roll down like a river and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." How would you like to have been a contemporary of Amos? I mean, he was a little bit overshadowed by Amos, right? And then there's Hosea, and maybe you haven't read that story lately, but Hosea and Gomer and how Gomer was unfaithful and Hosea pursued her and remarried her and reclaimed her, and how that's a picture of God's grace, how we've been unfaithful and we run from God, and yet God still loves us and pursues us in spite of our unfaithfulness. It's this incredible story of grace. How would you like to have been a contemporary of Hosea? I mean, he was a little bit overshadowed by Hosea, and then the granddaddy of them all, Isaiah. Isaiah was one of Micah's contemporaries. Isaiah ministered in Jerusalem. Isaiah walked the halls of power. Kings knew Isaiah's name and even trembled because Isaiah had so much influence among the people. He was like the Billy Graham of Old Testament prophets. I mean, here's his contemporaries, and then here's little Micah. Did you catch in verse 1 how it says he was from Moresheth? Ever heard of that? Yeah, me neither. I couldn't even find it on a map, literally. And finally, I read in one of the commentaries that it's a town about 25 miles south of Jerusalem in that day. Now you got to get this. We think 25, that's not bad. That was a day's journey. So you got to figure, okay, about a day's journey from where we live, where would that be? Somewhere out there in far west Texas. That's where Micah ministered, kind of out in the middle of nowhere. And Micah ministered to those who were poor and outcast, to widows and orphans. Micah's ministry was calling out the rich and the powerful, and they didn't appreciate Micah calling them out and how they were ignoring God's teaching about the care for widows and orphans. I'm telling you, there were no big name donors to Micah's ministry. He was not really appreciated for his message. And so he's in this no name town, not going anywhere fast. You talk about humble background. See, maybe some of you feel kind of like Micah this morning. Maybe you're from a nowhere town heading nowhere fast. Maybe you, like perhaps Micah did, feel like no one really cares what you have to say. Maybe you, like Micah, have limited influence. Maybe you don't have thousands of people who are following you on social media. Maybe you don't have an impressive degree hanging on your wall. Maybe you take orders at the office. You don't give the orders, and now you're sheltering in place, and so you don't even have that. Maybe you don't have vast resources at your disposal. Like Micah, maybe your background is somewhat humble, but listen, please listen. In spite of his humble background, Micah had incredible impact. God worked through Micah in a mighty way in the midst of his generation. And I believe God can work through your life in a mighty way if you'll keep your eyes on Jesus and not on your circumstances. Even if your circumstance is a humble background, and even if your circumstance is turmoil in the land, you got to understand something about Micah. He lived in a time not of a worldwide pandemic, but he lived in a time when there was nationwide panic. Micah lived through the year 722 BC, the year when the Assyrians invaded the Northern Empire and overtook the northern part of the country. We hear that and it goes in one ear and out the other, but let me kind of put it into context. Imagine how you would feel. Right now, there's this pandemic. Right now, we're sheltering in place. There's the coronavirus. But imagine if instead of the coronavirus, what we were hearing about is on the news, how an invading army was just off the coast. The East Coast, and I don't know, maybe China or Russia or Iran or maybe a group of countries, and now they've moved inland. They've actually invaded the eastern part of the country, and now they've occupied the eastern part of the country all the way up to the Mississippi. I'm telling you, we would be a little bit anxious. We'd be a little bit worried. We'd be thinking, man, this may be the time to shelter in place and just keep our head down and take care of me and mine and not really be outspoken about anything. We would be so uncertain. Add to that, Micah lived through 701 BC. When the Assyrians, not content to just take the northern part of the country, actually invaded the southern part of the country. And they didn't overtake Judah, the southern half of the country, but they did claim 46 towns. They occupied 46 towns. Imagine in our day, major towns in the west, everything west of the Mississippi is still America. And now imagine a foreign power has invaded and 46 cities throughout the country have fallen to foreign occupation. We would be feeling frightened, uncertain. We would be feeling this pandemic of fear. That's what Micah lived through in his day. It would have been so easy for Micah to say, I'm going to shelter in place. I'm going to take care of me and mine, my family. And I'm going to let Amos and I'm going to let Isaiah and Hosea point out the uniqueness of God to the people of my generation. I'm just going to keep my head down and my mouth shut. But instead, Micah remembered his purpose. Who is like the Lord? My purpose is to point out the uniqueness of the Messiah and the salvation available in the Messiah. He kept his eyes on Jesus and not on his circumstances, which were a humble origin and turmoil in the land. What about you? Are you tempted to do what Micah must have been tempted to do? To just kind of shelter in place, keep your head down and your mouth shut? Just think about protecting you and yours and getting through this time? Or are you thinking like Micah actually thought? And that is, my purpose is to point out the uniqueness of the Lord to the people of my generation. I got to tell you, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they're just, man, sheltering in place, working from home, and just feeling anxious and stressed. And God just, in my conversation with this person, just gave me a word that I just felt like, man, it's just a timely word. And I shared this word, and it's from Paul's writings, who said, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstance I find myself in. And I challenged this person. In the midst of a pandemic, you're either going to give in to your fear and your anxiety, or you're going to find contentment even in the midst of a pandemic. But then I quickly added, in one of those moments where it's just God just gives you a word that just connects, and I just shared with them, but please understand, contentment comes not just from meditating. And there's nothing wrong with meditation, but ultimate contentment, the kind of contentment that can leave you like Paul in a jail cell in the middle of a night in Philippi singing, and you see the Spirit of God move, the power of God move, and you see people getting saved. I'm telling you, that kind of contentment doesn't come from meditation. That kind of contentment comes from knowing that God has a plan and you've got a purpose. And that's what I told this person. You want to be content in the midst of this situation. You're going to have to trust that God's got a plan in the midst of a pandemic and that God has a purpose for you, a part for you to play in His plan. Man, I thought it was such great encouragement. The person that I was sharing with was leaning in, was nodding, and was obviously encouraged by what I had shared. And I was feeling really good. Like, I just wanted to thump my chest and go, yeah, boo, boo, yeah, I nailed that advice. Until this person said, you know, that's so encouraging what you shared. Said, I can't really be concerned right now about what God wants to do through me. But I got to tell you, it is so encouraging to me to know that God's wanting to do something in me in the midst of this pandemic. And so I just, man, I need to learn to be content and trust that God's working in my life. That wasn't exactly the point that I was trying to make. They got half of it. Trust that God's working in you, but trust that God wants to work through you. See, that's the key to Micah's life. Micah kept his eyes on Jesus, not on his circumstances. And here's the final thing I'd point out about Micah. He talked more about Jesus than he did about the virus. And you want to have impact? You're going to have to talk more about Jesus than you do about the virus. I'm telling you, you want to have impact? You begin to pray that God will give you boldness. You want to have impact, you've got to be willing to change the subject sometimes from shelter in place to the Savior who died on Calvary's cross. Where do I get that? You go, I'm scouring verse 1 of Micah, Gary, and I don't see that. Let me tell you where I get that. Micah's message was all about Jesus. Listen to Dr. Constable. From his commentary, he writes this, proportionately, this book, talking about Micah, this book has more prophecies about the advent, that means the coming, and the kingdom of the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah and the kingdom of the Messiah, the first coming and the second coming of the Messiah. He has more that he writes in this book about the advent and the kingdom of the Messiah than any other prophetic book. What Dr. Constable is saying is this, page for page, line for line, Micah talked more about Jesus, the coming of Jesus and the kingdom of Jesus than any other Old Testament prophet. Micah is the one who told us that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, you who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. See, a life of influence doesn't just come from sheltering in place and living a good life. That is absolutely critical. We cannot be hypocrites and be influencers in our generation. But our influence doesn't come from just sheltering in place and living a good life. It comes from boldly telling people about the uniqueness of our Savior. Influence comes when we start telling people the world is not falling apart. The world is falling into place. Influence comes when we tell people that Jesus is coming again, that Jesus is bigger than the coronavirus, that Jesus has a plan and a purpose in the midst of these days, that Jesus saves, that Jesus forgives, that Jesus shows grace. See, this is not the time to cower in a corner. And this is not the time to close our lips. This is the time to keep our eyes on Jesus. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. This is the time when Jesus can use you to impact your world like never before and perhaps never again. This is the time to join Jesus in waking the world up to Jesus. So what am I inviting you to do this morning? I'm inviting you to do three things. First, place your faith, your trust in Jesus if you have never done that. In just a moment, there's going to be a number that appears on your screen where if you want to talk to somebody about how you can become a follower of Jesus, you just call this number and there'll be a minister that'll talk to you and share with you how you can give your heart and your life to Jesus, how you can repent of your sins and confess Jesus as the Lord of your Savior, how you can just say to Jesus like I did when I was a 9-year-old boy, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. Will you save me? And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the day of salvation. This is the day to trust in Jesus. What am I inviting you to do? I'm inviting you to give your life to Jesus, number one. Number two, to fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't allow yourself to be distracted in the midst of these days by a coronavirus. Don't allow your life to be distracted by an upside down, topsy-turvy world. Make sure that you are setting aside every time to just fasten your eyes on Jesus, to sit in the presence of Jesus and listen for the voice of Jesus and trust Jesus to transform you by the power of His Spirit. What am I asking you to do? Trust Jesus as your Savior. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And finally, I'm asking you to let God impact a life through you this week. Ask God to use you to speak truth, to speak grace, to speak hope into someone's life this week. Who needs to hear this week that God is bigger than the coronavirus, that God is our hope and refuge, that God saves? I'm not asking you, by the way, to endanger your health. I'm not asking you to violate shelter in place, but I am asking you to pick up your phone or to text or to post or to Zoom with someone and let God impact their life through you. A word of hope, a word of encouragement, sharing with them the truth that we can be content in all things, even in the midst of a pandemic. I'm asking you to make the decision to impact someone's life this week. Let God impact someone through you. I saw a post from a lady in our church who just posted this from 2 Corinthians in chapter 1. We are crushed and overwhelmed. This is what she posted. And I'm telling you, she is having impact by everyone who read this post. We are crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. Can you relate? And we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. And He did rescue us from mortal danger, and He will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in Him, and He will continue to rescue us. Who needs for you to just forward that post to them, that verse to them this week? Who needs a call from you this week? I've got a friend who just walks every evening and he's just praying and he's praying for people. And every person that the Lord brings to his mind, he just stops and he calls them and he gives them a word of encouragement, even prays for them on the phone while he is walking. I'm telling you, my friend, God is using him to impact lives. He's called me just about every week through this virus to just, hey, Pastor, love you. Praying for you. How can I pray for you today? He's praying for me. I'm telling you, God can use you like He's using this lady to post something that others need to hear. He can use you to call someone and encourage someone.